Welcome to a brand new edition of Pouncecast, our second episode here in the month of February, and being joined on this month's edition by Kathy Litzow, the Senior Associate Director of Athletics and Senior Woman Administrator. And Kathy, first of all, thanks for your time. When I say that title, and for those that hear that title, what does that title entail?
A lot of different responsibilities, and it certainly has changed in the 30 years that I've been here, the last 16 in administration. But basically, I oversee our student resources areas. So I work closely with strength and conditioning, academics, sports medicine. I oversee sports. I'm on our executive team, senior staff. So a lot of leadership, working in different of work groups that we have, and lead some of those areas.
And we'll talk all about that and more as we go along. But obviously, February also Black History Month, and I want to talk about just how that relates now to Milwaukee athletics. And in your role in athletics, as it relates to leading the diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts for the Panthers, how does your role lead to those efforts?
Yeah, so I'm chair of our DEI committee, and this is a work group that was started back, I'm not sure, maybe 8 years ago. Amanda ran a strategic planning process that I helped lead, and we created different work groups to address many different areas in our department. And then we created metrics and action steps within those different work groups. And every work group had a similar goal of that was focused on diversity and inclusion. So in evaluating that, we thought that that really needed to be a separate work group. So we created a committee that consisted of coaches, administrators, and then student athletes, because it's important to get the input of everybody that's involved, right? Because this is focused on our staff experience as well as our student athlete experience. So this group meets monthly. We focus on national issues. We focus on issues that are happening within our department. We really listen to the student athletes and what are hot topics that they have, and how can we create a climate that is accepting really to everybody. And we work with our campus, we work with our community to provide the resources, whether it's trainings, whether it's speakers. You know, we want to make sure that we're providing education in all these spaces.
I assume the feedback's been real good with the student athletes, those that have been involved in this.
Yeah, so what we do, so our SAC, our Student Athlete Advisory Committee, they have different work groups, and we've matched them up to our administrative work groups. And they have a committee, a diversity and inclusion committee, and then one of the student reps attends our staff meetings to discuss, you know, the topics that are discussed in their group. That also connects back to the Horizon League. There's a 1HL group, right? And then the Horizon League connects back to the NCAA. So we really have a group that is very thorough and has great communication.
Now, just in creating a group like this, is that something that Milwaukee did on its own? Is it something that maybe was advised by the Horizon League? Is the Horizon League obviously promoting this with all their members? How's that work?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. We actually started this committee before it was anything really discussed at a national level. But the Horizon League has added this 1HL, and then the NCAA actually added, and they've asked that each campus provide a staff member that is specifically associated with diversity and inclusion. So it's called an Athletics Diversity and Inclusion Designee. So I serve as that on our campus, and I'm connected to NCAA resources as that designee. And the NCAA, even this year, is asking every university to do a review of your DEI program. And so we're working with campus on that. So it's really grown, but I do think we were at the forefront in starting this committee well before anybody else.
If you will, talk about athletics, diversity, inclusion, the statement, and the importance of being leaders in the space on campus.
Yeah, so it's really important for us to publicly make the statement of our commitment to having a diverse representation of our staff and student athletes. We expect our culture to support everyone's individuality, and we want to make sure we reach out to our campus and utilize the resources that they have to help with that, support that education, making sure that we're providing inclusive opportunities, sharing the connections that our campus has to our community, to make sure that every student-athlete that comes here knows they have a home, right? You join UWM, you join a team, you join athletics, you're a part of a team, but it's important to us that your individuality be allowed to shine within that team environment, and we want everyone to know that they're welcome here.
Obviously, Black History Month began February 1st. That same day, a National Girls and Women in Sports Day. What's the importance of not only racial, but also gender equality within sports?
Right. So representation matters. If you can see it, you can be it. And, you know, there's so many people have blazed trails before us. And we want to be sure our student athletes are educated on those trailblazers. So I really give our coaches a lot of credit. Women's basketball, I know during Black History Month, does a lot of education. They ask their athletes to research historical figures, to share what they've learned. You know, there's a lot of growth that occurs from learning the history of those that have come before. This year being the 50th anniversary of Title IX, we've been hosting women in sports panel discussions. And, you know, we're trying to get to all of our women's teams, and we will by the end of the year, so that our athletes are aware of opportunities to work in a field of sports. Like some of us, including myself, didn't know this was an opportunity. I didn't really think about it when I was an athlete and kind of fell into it. So we want our athletes to be looking at every opportunity they have for a career in sports.
How neat is, let's talk about that 50-year anniversary of Title IX, and with Milwaukee Athletics, did a great video project. You can find those through the Black and Gold Network. They're on the YouTube through the Milwaukee Black and Gold Network page. But how neat is it when you kind of look back and to have that resource, to be able to talk to former, you know, coaches, student athletes that came here before us, before the current athletes that were pioneers for women's athletics here on this campus.
Yeah, there's so many great stories. There's so much great history. You know, I mean, we turned Division I in 1990, but those that even were before us laid that groundwork for that to be possible. And it's fun to pause, right, and to really honor those that have made significant strides in their sports and then went on to have some great career working in sports, professional athletes. So yeah, there's a lot of great history here.
Yeah, if you've not seen those videos, again, I recommend going back and finding those. Some great interviews and some great history to be learned. How about for you personally, being a volleyball player at the collegiate level, into coaching, National Girls and Women in Sports Day, what did that day mean to you?
Oh, it meant a lot. I mean, I was very fortunate to grow up in a sports family. My mom certainly being my sports hero. She actually played basketball in college, which is very unusual for women in the 50s to have had that opportunity. And because she had it, she was going to make sure that her daughter had it. And so I may have played on a lot of co-ed teams, but I didn't think twice about it. My parents didn't think twice about it, and it certainly helped propel me into a great career.
Something you kind of touched on, I want to get back to, you know, the big picture here with Black History Month and talking about the athletics role with diversity, equity, and inclusion. What initiatives has athletics led or implemented, and I know we've touched on this a little bit, but have led or implemented recently to help develop a climate and culture of inclusiveness?
Yeah, so for the last 2 years, we've asked each of our student athletes and our coaches to read the NCAA Unity Pledge. And this year, our committee had a great idea on a banner to write out what this pledge is. And it's really about acceptance. And we asked our athletes to really commit to that pledge. And then they signed it. So it's hanging in the atrium as a reminder to all of our student athletes as they enter the K. But I will share that our external staff really does a great job. We have a lot of staff behind the scenes, and they really do a great job in putting on Pride games. We had one earlier this year, International Student Athlete Night. We had a Latinx night at a soccer game. And then we have programming all month for Black History Month. So the education, you know, is important to us, not just for our student athletes, but also to emphasize in the community that it's important. I also want to share the volunteering that our student athletes do. They get out in the community, and you know, we really stress for our coaches that their experience here is more than just on the court, right? It's in the classroom, but it's also in the community. So we ask them to get out and to make an impact in the community, in the city of Milwaukee. And we've really focused on experiential learning to share where they're going, why they're going, what their impact there can have on the kids or the people that they're volunteering for. And our coaches provide feedback to me on what they've done and how much they've done. And the past few years have been over 2,500 hours each year of volunteer service to our community, and we're really proud of that work.
It's always great to hear the stories too from the student athletes, because they get so much out of those volunteer experiences too. It's not just what, you know, who they're helping, but they get so much out of those opportunities. This may be a harder question to answer, maybe pinpoint, but what do you see next in this space for both Panther Athletics and sports college athletics as a whole.
Yeah, so obviously continued growth and education and support. I mean, we, you know, like I said earlier, just really, really want to emphasize that everybody is accepted here, 100% is who they are. I'm excited to go through this NCAA DEI review. Dr. Chia Vang, our Vice Chancellor for Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion, is going to assist with that review. And I'm sure there'll be areas that'll be highlighted, and I'm sure there'll be areas that we need to really focus on improving. But I know our staff is committed to that, and we look forward to those that growth.
Now it's, Kathy Litzau, this is your life. Let's talk a little bit about your life here at Milwaukee. And you mentioned it, growing up in a athletic family. Mm-hmm. And for you, at least at the high school level, you were a three-sport athlete. What sports outside of volleyball?
Basketball and track.
Did you always know that in the back of your mind, volleyball was a sport that you might play at the next level?
Not until I was probably a junior in high school. I was actually a really good high jumper when I was in high school. I have a brother who high jumped in college. And I thought that was a path that I could probably continue on. And then I started playing club volleyball when I was a junior. And that when I stepped that really at the tryout, to be honest, around the talent that was surrounding me, I just was like, this is incredible. And then every day loved going to practice. And by my senior year, when I started to get recruited, I was actually surprised. And I thought, oh, wow, I get to do that. I have the opportunity to do this for 4 more years.
How cool, too, I was reading, so you went to Naperville Central High School down in Illinois. You're in their Athletic Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. You're in the Bud Haiti Milwaukee Athletics Hall of Fame as of 2017. How many years is it to be, you're a Hall of Famer at 2 different levels?
It's kind of surreal. Yeah, no, it's a great honor. I was honestly very surprised at my high school because there's incredible talent there, Candace Parker being one of them. But yeah, it's a great honor, and I used to work for Bud, and so to be in a Hall of Fame that's named after him is really incredible.
Well, following your prep days, you went to South Bend, you played at Notre Dame volleyball. When did you get the coaching itch? When did you say, hey, when volleyball is all said and done, I want to go the coaching route?
So my senior year in college, that spring, I was in an exit interview with my head coach, and he was just, you know, asking what's next? What would you like to do? My degree was in English with a minor in business, so I thought I would be moving into the business route. And then he suggested coaching, and my immediate thought was, I think I need a break. And then he said, well, how about you could be a grad assistant, and then you could get your master's paid for. And my immediate thought was, I don't really want to go back to school. And then he said, well, I just saw in the NCAA news, which that was how things were advertised back then, that there's a position for a grad assistant at the University of Illinois. And then I immediately thought, I want that job. And left his office, ran back to my dorm, worked on my resume, because it had to be shifted from business to coaching. Dropped it in the mail the very next day, and the next week had a phone interview, and then I was asked to come to campus. One reason why I was so interested in that position is I was recruited by Illinois, and they probably were, I can pretty confidently say they were my top choice, but I was the number two recruit for them, so I didn't get the opportunity to go there. Mike Hebert was the head coach, and I think at that point had been to 2 Final Fours, was really well respected in coaching, and I was so excited to have the opportunity to learn from him.
Was it a relatively smooth transition for you going from being on the court as a player to now being on the sideline helping other players?
It really was, and I credit Mike Hebert a lot with that. There's a lot of meetings, there's a lot of prep, a lot of discussion about who's coaching what areas, and he also had me on the floor playing a lot. So probably the best I ever was as a player was in that gym as a grad assistant, playing against the team. And, you know, as a scout player and, you know, really understanding what we're up against and being able to physically do that, but then communicate that to the team as well. And being on the court with them, was able to gain their respect and just really had a lot of fun with it.
So you coached at Illinois, Wisconsin, Michigan State. How did Milwaukee get on the radar?
Well, having been at Wisconsin, certainly learned a lot about, you know, this area and recruiting. Growing up in Illinois, I played for a high-level club team in that area, and there's a lot of talent. And when I was at Wisconsin, I started dating my now husband, and he was working in Milwaukee, so that was certainly an interesting draw to look to see if there was a university in this area, which there was. So a little bit of fate happening there. But I took the job because of the opportunity for growth. You know, that was 1993 when I took it. They just turned Division I in 1990. I really felt that I could sell this university. I could sell this community. It was an area where I would love to live, and was happy for that challenge and that opportunity.
So when you started coaching, was the goal quickly to become a head coach, or are you just trying to, you know, do something to kill time while you got your master's?
Well, my master's is in athletic administration, and when I was graduating, I explored both avenues, administration and coaching, and was actually offered jobs in both areas, and was given the advice that if I wasn't sure what to do, I should start the coaching route, because it's easier to go from coaching to admin than to go from admin to coaching. And I thought that was great advice. And John Cook, who was offered the job at Wisconsin, had actually been a coach of mine at an Olympic festival that I played in. And so there was familiarity there. He was brand new. He was coming off of even assistant with the national team. So I thought, okay, this is another great opportunity, great experience. And then from there, I went to Michigan State because Chuck Irby had just been hired. And he was a volunteer assistant at Illinois when I was a grad assistant. So it was all connections. And he had a great background. He had been the head coach at USC for many years, won national championships. So I thought, wow, what a great opportunity to learn from three incredible, highly successful coaches. And then when I came here, certainly after so many years, started to get the itch for admin.
You inherited a program when you came here that had won three matches the year before. Mm-hmm. At what point did you go, boy, either A, what did I get myself into, mm-hmm. or B, hey, I can turn this around? And how long did it take you to turn things around?
Well, my first thought was, having been at those other three schools and recognizing schools, we'd never played Milwaukee, but schools in the conference. And my thought was, oh, I can be competitive. And so I felt confident that I could come in and coach a team to be competitive in the conference they were in. It was the Mid-Continent at the time. And the first day of practice, that's when I went, what did I get myself into? Because there wasn't much talent. There were great players, and they were committed. So I was going to be loyal and committed to them and do whatever I could to get them better. And then knew I had to recruit. But I literally walked in with this practice plan. After the first 5 minutes, I scrunched it up and threw it away, and we started from scratch. So, yeah.
271 wins over the course of 14 seasons, 6 NCAA tournament appearances on top of 8 regular season conference championships. Building a program is what you did. What's key? What was key to your success in not only building the program, but then maintaining that success?
Yeah, so it certainly is recruiting, competition, winning, like finding a way and believing, having confidence in yourself and your teammates, having trust. At one point I didn't have anybody on my team that was over 6 feet tall, but we won a conference championship and we're pretty close to beating Texas in a set in the NCAA first round. But that team believed that they could beat anybody across the net from them. And it was hard work, and it was commitment, and it was, loyalty to each other. I was very lucky to have very talented players that really just played hard. You know, that was the thing when I first walked in, that they didn't seem to care so much if they would lost, because they lost so much. And so that was the number one thing that I knew I had to change, like the caring about the end result.
This may be, again, difficult to pinpoint in 14 seasons, but is there a match or two that stand out among the rest?
Yes. So back when I first started, it was side-out scoring, and that meant you could only score off of your serve. And we'd played a 15. And my early years, Northern Illinois was in our conference, and they were the top team. And we would lose to them and barely earn 2 or 3 points. Sometimes we wouldn't earn any. So you'd side out, but you don't get a point. So then the end score could be 15-0. And I'll never forget the first time we beat them. And that was in my head and my heart where I went, okay, we're going to do this. We're going to make something here. So that was the first, and then certainly was the first conference championship where we really did do it. Winning it at Wright State was the very first one I won, and then the very last one I won was also at Wright State.
Well, you mentioned then all of a sudden you started to look into potentially making that move and becoming part of the administration. You made that move in 2007. What led you that route to get out of coaching and now come to this direction?
I was ready for a new challenge. I was even starting to look at other opportunities across the country. Very supportive husband that I have and family, you know, just really wanted to challenge myself and grow. And I didn't want to do that. I could have certainly looked at, I had opportunities for other coaching jobs, but that wasn't what I was seeking. And Bud Haiti was great in giving me experience within admin. Even when I was coaching, I did have a few additional responsibilities, including me in senior staff, so I could learn. And then a position opened up here, and I never had to move. He was, I had to go through the interview process, of course, but he was a great mentor to help me get into administration.
Do you ever get the itch to get back into coaching?
Well, I stayed in coaching for a long time, just outside of collegiate. I coached club, coached my kids, stayed involved in the sport really closely until probably just 2 years ago. So that itch was scratched because I was still a part of it. But now I think I've just kind of slipped away enough that I'm happy in the role that I'm in. I still have a daughter that plays in college, so I do still get that, you know, competitive edge as a parent and the thrill of watching her succeed.
Yeah, how neat is that? You mentioned you grew up in an athletic family. Your family also very athletic.
Yeah, I'm very lucky, very fortunate. My oldest daughter played at Minnesota. My second daughter played high school volleyball. Third daughter, Casey, plays at Wichita State. And then my son is a soccer player in high school and killing it in intramurals in college. But yeah, sports were a part of certainly their youth. They grew up in the gym, and you know, they all, even if they're not competing anymore, it's still important to them.
I want to get this in real quick. Something I appreciate and that many people may know is you actually have some broadcast experience in volleyball.
I do, yeah. Before my teams made it to the conference tournament, the season would be over. And so I was asked a few times to do the color commentary for the conference tournament, which one season that led to me being asked to do the NCAA's regional semifinals and finals. And that was quite the experience in a sold-out gym at Nebraska in front of a huge crowd with some high-level players and high-level coaches. And so a lot of respect for those of you that do this for a living, that's for sure, Matt.
Ever thought about coming back on the mic at some point?
I have not, no.
Well, the invite is there, come volleyball season. But to wrap it all up as our time starts to wind down, your time here at Milwaukee, when you think about this campus, all that you've seen that this campus grow, whether it be as a coach now in your current role, what are you proud of? What do you love about this university?
I love how it continues to grow and expand. And, you know, we look across the street here and there's a new building. You know, I love the people, you know, that we're really able to attract a great staff that care about the student athlete experience. We're able to have success within our conference. We continue to grow in that aspect as well. I think Amanda does a great job in giving our coaches the resources. And I have a great job in that I work with a resource kind of behind the scenes in the student athlete resource area. But yeah, really proud of this university.
Well, you certainly wear many hats. Thanks a lot for your time. Thanks for doing this. That's Kathy Litzell. Thank you for joining us for our second edition of the Pounce Cast.